Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Hello, hi, hey. How are you? We're back. Post 130. Reckon that's about right. We catch up and talk nonsense for our first little bit, including home ownership woes. Because your boy's got a house. What are you going to do about it? So we catch up on weird adult issues, as we often do, about what it's like to feel your body degrading as you occupy it. But then shortly after that, we do get to the anime. We get into My Hero Academia in these last few episodes, Elusive Samurai, Rings of Power 2, Season 2, rather. Grant has not seen it. I'm caught up to, like, Episode 5, so we don't really get into any spoilery talk. We catch up a little bit on, like, the current George R.R. Martin drama arc and him talking shit about shows adapted from his source material that he has yet to finish. Grant gives his first impressions of a classic in Cowboy Bebop, and then we do the news, which includes the Emmys and upcoming superhero movies, because there's always an upcoming superhero movie. Okay, that's about it. Enjoy. Grant.
Hello, David.
Good to hear your voice. What's that?
Good to hear your voice again.
I'm back. We're back.
Yeah, holy Christ.
It's been a little while. We moved to bi-weekly, and then obviously we had to take a whole episode off, which means we were off like a month.
Yeah.
I've been traveling and moving. Grant's been changing diapers and
I've been sick, dude. I had like I can't believe, like, 4.5 years later, like, the worst COVID I've ever had.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, you said that the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, it was bad. Like, total. Like, the smell loss. I've never had that before.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it took me, like, a full week there. I think yesterday was the first day where I felt, like, okay. But, it was, like, a week and a half of that.
Okay, so I have a different problem, but it's still an adult problem. Okay. But it's, like, I just feel like I'm pickled. Like, I think,
Yeah.
That's after no, not even that. Like, I feel like when you're on vacation and traveling, like, we were at a wedding, like, on a vineyard, you know what I mean? Like, we went on wine tours, and then from there we did New York City for a week, and then from there we moved, and now it's like, you know, all throughout those things you're not eating like your regularly scheduled programmed diet, right? There's booze, there's takeouts, there's fancy dinners, there's traveling dinners, there's indulgence. Then you come home and you, like, try and get it in order, but you're moving, so nothing, you don't have, you know what I mean, all the things that you're used to having. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like I've been on, like, a vacation haze.
Sure.
And I just feel out of shape and tired. You know what I mean? And it's amazing how quickly you feel out of shape post-30.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, like, 6 days of being, like, out of your routine. Or maybe that's just me. I need the routine.
You know what's crazy, dude? You know how, like, you know, I know we joke about it, like, on and off mic there, but I drink a lot of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have a single coffee the entire time I was sick.
Did you get withdrawal? Or maybe you felt so bad anyway?
No, I felt pretty bad. Like, I definitely think that some of the headaches were definitely caffeine associated.
Absolutely, yeah.
Since I've been better, like I said, I cannot do more than one now.
Really?
I'm having a hard time even finishing a coffee. Like, just like a small. And it's like, it's crazy just how time and doing something for so long, or being off doing something for so long, or, you know, being away doing something for so long in your case there. It's crazy how you come back and try to readjust. And
perhaps it recalibrated your levels.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do miss it. But yeah,
actually, I have a very similar anecdote. I was at the bar. Well, similar and not. I was at the bar late on Saturday watching UFC, losing all my money. And one of the street youths gave me a Zin. And I was like, dude.
A lip pillow? How was that? How'd that treat you?
You know me, Grant. I smoked Belmonts for 11 years, dude. So naturally, trying to, like, pick up where I left off, I grabbed this Zen. I turned green and was, like, ready to call it within, like, I don't know, 14 minutes. I was like, I have to remove this.
It's crazy.
Oh, God. what was it? there's a John Mulaney bit, which is even funnier now, considering he has since relapsed, in one of his specials, which was like, when I was 25, I smoked cocaine the day before a final. And now, if I touch a doorknob and if I don't sanitize my hands, I have a panic attack. People change. And then he went to relapse.
Over recently?
Yeah, he relapsed in COVID.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Gotcha.
And then he did his comeback tour. He got sober. And then he did that really fantastic special called Baby J. On Netflix, which I highly recommend. Actually, speaking of which, I don't think I told you this. So we hit the Comedy Cellar in New York City.
I did know that.
You did know that. Yeah, and I think I told you ahead of time. We were pretty lucky because you buy the tickets before and you find out the headliner after, right?
Like when you're sitting in the place? Like there's like a bill or is it kind of...
No, it's online. Online, they sell tickets at all times 10 days in advance. And at all times, they announce the lineup the week of. So if you're buying the tickets because you don't want to wait in line for to not show up, there's like always like a standby line in case people no show. But if you don't want to do that, you just reserve a ticket. But when you reserve your ticket, you don't know the lineup. So that's why last time I went, we got incredibly lucky. We saw Dave Attell, right?
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
And this time, again, incredibly lucky, we bought the tickets. Sam Morril headlining.
Oh, fuck, there you go.
And this isn't like a big one, but it was interesting. There's a girl named Casey that stole the whole show, absolutely annihilated. But a random pop-in was Jim Norton.
Oh, what a legend. Yeah, he's awesome. I love Jim Norton.
Grant? Without exaggerating at all here, Jim Norton did about 20 to 25 minutes on adultery and only adultery.
I think kind of his bag, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He made that shit clear.
Yeah.
on adultery and sex work and how to cheat and how not to cheat. I was like, what is going on? It was pretty wild. And then... Sam Morril had a good set, but there was a girl who went just before him named Casey, and I think I'd have her on Instagram. I'll post a clip or I'll share it with you or something. But yeah, stole the show, annihilated. Oh, you know, want to know one more thing that was cool that you'll appreciate?
Yeah.
Sam Morril and Mark Normand have a rye whiskey.
Yes.
We can't get in Canada, but they have it in New York and in select markets and restaurants.
Oh,
and whatnot.
Do you get it at the duty free?
No. Because it's not that widely available yet, but they are making headway. But one of their biggest wins yet is they're being served in the old fashioned at all the Comedy Cellar locations.
Wow,
which is awesome! And I got it, and it was great.
Huh. Damn.
Yeah, that's a comedy level nerd stat for you, tidbit. But I knew you would like it. Okay. God, what else? You're gonna swing by and fix my house?
Yeah, you got a little bit of a to-do list there this weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the house yet. I'm looking forward.
Did you see that second video I sent? I just found a hole in my lawn. I don't even know what that is.
Dude, I'm almost certain that's like, you must be in like a low, like a downhill zone. And that's probably for like rising water in your yard.
Oh,
would be my guess.
I know that we have a high water bed in the neighborhood I'm in.
That's 100% what it is.
And I think I told you, there's not one but two sub pumps in the basement. So that it must be related to that.
There we go. We solved it.
Okay, so it's a... What term would you use?
I think it's like yard drainage. Like water... Yeah, outside water drainage. Yeah.
Okay.
That probably goes right to the sewer.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, bitch, that bitch backs up.
Yes.
If it's flooding. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. There's been no flooding or water damage in this place before it was completely redone. And whoever redid it was like a few owners ago, and they did the whole fucking place house to, you know, nuts to bolts.
Yeah.
They just forgot to put in a doorbell, you know? What do you do? What are you gonna do? Nobody needs
I don't want people ringing my door anyways, so works out.
Yeah. Do you ever play Nicky Nicky Nidor?
What's that? Like fucking...
You know, the burning bag of dog crap, then you knock on the window and you run away?
Oh my god, no.
What? Never. Really?
I've never left a dog.
We did this to...
On door.
Yeah. Wait, what?
I've never left a bag of crap on someone's door.
But was it on fire?
No.
Oh, so no bags of crap, human or otherwise.
Yeah, none whatsoever. It's an experience I have not
gone through. Wow, someone lived a sheltered life.
I lived like halfway out the country where like everyone knew each other. Like it'd be with one of the only kids on the road, it'd be pretty obvious who was doing
it. Yeah, right, fair enough. I'm just playing. All right. The big comeback, and we're coming in hot on just quality television. My Hero Academia. Now, I'm actually, I binged 3 or 4 episodes the other day because I'd been traveling and whatnot.
I have been keeping up to date relatively week to week.
Have or have not? Say.
I have, yeah.
So you're currently up to date?
Yeah.
So I think we're up to season 7, I want to say episode like 16.
Yeah, I think there's 5 episodes left.
Yeah. So quite a bit has happened. And then also
very all over the place. It's the ever looping. So much is happening, you know, with very little happening simultaneously. It's the yin and yang of My Hero Academia.
Yeah. But, it almost reminds me of like early or like mid Game of Thrones of like when a show has so many plot lines, you really just get one scene per story line per episode until like they start to merge. That's like what's happening here as they try. You can feel them trying to wrap it up.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, it's funny because you and I, of all the things that you and I have spoken on My Hero is like their strength of like reminding us of this character. And you, that's been a consistent thing, you know, like where it's introducing someone new, getting a good feel for them. But what they have been kind of lacking over the years is, like, when they do kind of bring them back and it's, like, it feels not very significant. You know, like, this moment that, you know, like, as a callback or whatever. But I got to say, the past few episodes, like, they just randomly pulled this random side character from one of the other schools or, you know, like, one of the, you know, the D-level heroes, even in, like, you know, class 1A.
Yeah.
They've been kind of knocking it out of the park, for the most part. And the villains, too, and I think... You know, it was funny. You know, I think the last time I saw you, you know, when we were drinking one night, and you were so furious about what was going on. You were like, you know, very drunkenly, like yelling of like Dobby, you know, fuck Dobby, fuck Dobby, and that whole thing. And it's funny.
This is when we went out with Jane.
Yeah, and I think not since that moment, like they kind of like flipped it. Like I was like really worried after like the like, oh, Dobby's not dead. You know, or Dobby's back. And, like, you and I were pretty frustrated. And I think from that bad moment, they've only been kind of climbing up. Like, it's been very good since that point. Yeah. I got to say. It's been, like, what, four episodes we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah. That is a very telling part-time otaku, like, behind-the-scenes look of, like, our wild nights out are, like, downtown. And you can just picture me drunkenly screaming, fuck Dobby at the bar. Fuck him, dude. The C plot looking bitch. That is kind of what we're reduced to. But yeah, it's a peek behind the curtain. But so I don't disagree. I think they've been fine. I'm not as hot on it as you are. You know what it reminds me of? And I'm not being intentionally critical. Is like it feels like they're trying to do... I mean, this is not... Maybe not fair. But it kind of feels like a poor man's version of like the Full Metal Alchemist ending where like, do you know that last season where it's like everything intersecting and interconnecting and all pieces make sense?
Yeah. But it felt earned and it felt very earned. It timed itself very well.
Like, but with this, it does feel a little paint by numbers in that they're like, oh, right, we set up all these characters. We have to have all these payoffs. Or we bring them all back for like, aha, remember this? Mm. Like, what is it? Gentleman? Mr. Gentle?
Gentle, sorry, no, is it Mr. Gentle? No,
it's something like that. People know.
Damn it. Wow. It's
good. Lady Nagant, the gentleman guy and his sidekick, and you know, like other.
No, it was Gentle Criminal. That was
Gentle Criminal, yeah. Like, it's tricky because I do genuinely appreciate that they're bringing them all back. And like,
I did like that moment, I gotta say.
You kind of have unlimited surprises when you introduce like 200 characters, and some of them go somewhere and then some of them don't.
Uh-huh.
I guess that part is kind of fun, watching like who they pull out of the bag. Yeah. But simultaneously, it also feels like it's like just delaying the main plot a little bit. You're like, okay, like I get it. But like how many cutaways are we going to do to understand character X's motivation when we've only seen character X like 4 times before?
If I'm being completely honest, like it is the main story right now that I'm kind of like bored and annoyed with. Like, that's funny. I I'm not gonna say like I'm gonna stop watching because like I know they're gonna continue doing it for the remainder of these episodes.
Yeah.
But I do not need to see another scene of this inner conflict.
Oh my god.
War between Shigaraki and, you know, All For One. Like I really because like they're not even trying all that hard. It feels very like aha. Like, you know, like I think this most recent episode, like we get like more of a Shigaraki POV on the inside. And it's just like, yeah, this whole time, like, you think you've had me from youth, and it's like, no, I've shelled myself. And it's like, stupid. Come the fuck on. It's like, guys, we're almost at the finish line. Can we, like, not? You know, it genuinely feels... And then, so it's like, I'd rather care what, like, the tornado dude, you know, annoying dude from the failed test, like, you know, him, you know, showing back up and, you know, talking about, oh, I... And he, like, referenced something like Todoroki, my friend, and what I learned from his father in Endeavor. And it's like, I don't even know what that means.
That's supposed whatever. To be a callback that you're supposed to remember yeah, in the one scene they had three seasons ago.
Yeah, dude, like, it's... I don't know. It's just... It's so silly how, you know, what we're getting hung up on and what we're not. And I don't know, dude. Like, it's... It's okay TV. Like it's good Saturday yeah. morning cartoon.
That's exactly what it is. You know, I watch yeah. it on Saturday mornings while I eat cereal, and there's no stakes, and it's fine.
Yeah, I'm past Captain Crunch.
Yeah. Yeah. To your point about the inner conflict shit, and even like their whole fight in general, it is a little bit Goku charging the Spirit Bomb esque. Yeah. Of like, we get a minute and a half of this every episode for the yeah. like for six straight episodes while the rest of the show tries to move on and like stall for time. Like I'm gonna feel bad if you liked it a lot, but I really like that spinner episode was just dumb to me. I was like, I get that they've been queuing him up, but it's like, I don't know anything about Spinner. Why do I care?
Yeah, if there's one thing, I'm like half with you there, because I think people were like really like, oh, like what, Spinner himself is going to be like, you know, the magnet of this scene, going to like bring people in, you know, kind of both perspectives or whatever. And I thought like the writing outside was like a little like on the nose of like, we look different, you know, like this and that, like you're the type of
the heteromorph stuff
that, yeah, so like, you know, like, and that is something I was kind of interested in, because, you know, they kind of just like don't talk about, like, people just look the way they look, and it's like, it seems like a very accepting yeah. world and all that. And I was like, is this really the time for them to be kind of stuffing in, like, there is all this, you know, angst behind the scenes, and we've kind of heard a little bit from, you know, like, Spinner, and I'm already forgetting the dude, like, the octopus guy, Octopus yeah. Karate Man, one of the main heroes there, one of the kids, but I don't know, it was just, it's very lazily handled, but, like, what was going on outside, like, really worked for me, and all the stuff of, like, Spinner inside, and, you know... Microphone Jack there completely dropping the ball and like fucking like releasing what's his name there by accent Kurogiri,
but oh yeah,
you know, it just, I don't know, it just, it feels that whole
like
it's very sloppy, dude. It's
the Kurogiri thing yeah. has been going on for so long,
and now he's good again.
Now yeah. he's good again. So what happened? Yeah. I don't know.
He was bad just long enough to fuck everybody over and get Shigaraki yeah. and Toga and everyone where they need to be. But, you know, just like that, like, we're good to go. He's, you know, saving his friends again.
The Toga using twice his blood thing.
I was good with that. I was expecting that.
I liked it. It's funny. It's one of the few plots I'm actually like, oh, this is interesting. I wonder how
you were always big on the twice stuff. I remember that.
Twice stuff was fun. Yeah. He had one of the better... spin-off episodes, like single character backstory yep. episodes, and I think they were like showing all of that right before he was killed by Hawks.
Yeah,
so that was like that whole plot line I kind of enjoy. I enjoyed Hawks's plot line, Endeavor's, All For One, like that side of the fight I actually enjoyed significantly.
Yeah, you didn't get pissed off by the resurrection there?
Oh no, that did irritate.
It worked well. I thought so too.
But again, I will also say on this point, like the way they made it sound was like he's going to continue to be rewound into nothing. Like this is a temporary W for him.
They have stated like this will kill him. Like if he yeah. doesn't pull off what he needs to do.
But he's not super concerned because he wants to merge his consciousness Shigaraki body. But I will say this is another, like, I don't know. Sometimes you don't know who to blame for in anime, right? It's like, is it the translation? Is it the dialogue? Like, sometimes things literally don't translate well.
Sure.
But man, like, there's been a lot of monologues and a lot of wordiness about this character's motivation and this character's motivation and why they'll never allow this to happen. And it gets clunky and repetitive. When, like, you feel you're in the last act and every character has to be like, all right, my story arc is ending. Here's why
I didn't love the journalism students, like, screaming why they're important too.
Bro, like, there's just a lot of moments where I'm like, why are we showing this? Why is this in the show?
All I could picture was you. All I could picture was you just being like, this is unnecessary. It was, why are we showing this?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Dude, I'm crying.
But I'm not turning it off. I'm here.
No. No.
It's like, My Hero currently is like the definition of the sunk cost fallacy. I didn't watch 7 fucking seasons and 16 episodes.
To not, yeah, rock.
To not see how it goes.
I hear you.
I was only a couple episodes behind on Elusive Samurai.
You're off top now, though?
Yeah, and one of them was a recap episode.
There's a new one.
Yeah, so yeah.
One of them was
recap. There was 9.5 and then 10, and, yeah. And I watched both last night.
What a great fucking show, dude.
Yeah, dude, this is... what we've seen in a year is always hard, right? Because we always think of things about... in seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to think. I was about to say, this has got to be, you know, top 5 of the year territory.
For you? Yeah, definitely. It's tough to say.
That's why I was saying, like... but then again, I'm just scrolling through our Instagram at Part-Time Otaku Podcast, where you can find
us.
Dude,
it might actually, TikTok. Yeah, it might actually be in my top 5 this year.
But I'm looking at, like, what else? Like, Frieren was technically this year.
Continued, yeah.
That's true, yeah. Solo Leveling was this year.
Mushoku Tensei was the second half. Kaiju number 8.
Oh, good one.
Demon Slayer.
When was Jujutsu Kaisen over?
That was last year.
Yeah, okay.
That was in the fall, I believe.
So yeah, like, yeah, all these things are probably in contention.
It is funny, and I've had a bit of a I'm kind of over the internet moment with this show.
With the Elusive Samurai?
Yeah, it kind of, like,
yeah, I actually, tell me about it, because I'm very on, like, I don't know what the reception has been other than,
so, like, it was us. Good, like, out of the gate it was like quite pop, you know, like, people were like, holy cow, like, that opening episode there, you know, the animation and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
And there was, like, genuine, like, dumping, and I think it was like a reminder where, I'm not trying to say like I'm gonna get off the internet there, like, or maybe I'm just like on the internet too much,
sometimes
reading too much. It just, genuinely, it felt like that, and I think Elusive Samurai kind of, there was, you know, one of the more recent episodes kind of like broke my brain a bit. I kind of just like lost my shit. You know, I'm done with like people on Reddit.
Yeah.
So like episodes 3 and 4, there's like the very bad CGI. With the horses and like the dog shooting competition.
Yeah, that was,
and like,
yeah,
that was kind of like where the temperature had turned very quickly on the show. And people were like dumping on it, saying like, oh, this is only going to be bad. It's only going to be bad. And, you know, like, there's like no coming back from this. And like, it was literally just those scenes with horses. They did it. And then people are just like, I don't see people talking about it anymore. Like, it's just kind of like a general, like a moot kind of feeling about it. And then episode 9... where, like, they defend the village, and there's, like, the really big scene of Tokiyuki fighting off that dude, like, trapped in, like, the prayer room.
Yeah, like, and, when it's him and the general in the one room.
Exactly. Ugh. And so, and here's where the internet is fickle, and I'm fucking annoyed, and this is genuinely what kind of fucking broke me, is they use a good amount of that similar CG animation on that character from the second he was introduced. He's almost always in that 3D, you know, animation kind of look to him, like that Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
No one cares, because the head animator on that scene is the gentleman who did the Levi versus Kenny fight.
Oh, wow.
And people, it was like, everyone just like completely forgot like what they were bitching about before on the same subreddits, on like the various groups and forums. Never just said, fuck it. Like, no, 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 this is always good. This is perfect. Like, look at this. Like, he did this. Like, of course it's good. And it's like, guys, you're literally bitching, like, about the exact same style of animation, like, 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know, dude. Like, again, it's a vocal minority, and, you know, it's hard, and you get the frustration. But, like, it genuinely got to me, and it's like, fuck this, dude. Like, I'm not reading this stuff anymore. I'm not reading, like, episode reviews anymore. Like,
you know, I don't blame you.
I don't know. I'm sure I will. I just, it really irked me. I was like...
No, but to your point, yeah. I mean, there's a lot here, right? Like, yeah, for one, the internet in general is very, like, what have you done for me lately? Very fair weather. Yeah. Very, yes. And very toxic, like, all around. Yeah. All these are different things. But it's tricky because, to your point, and, like, I bet to some of the people listening, like, sometimes you seek these things out because you want to share your passion and your curiosity for the art form. And it's cool that there are communities of people that like discuss all this stuff on a routine basis. But it, as fun as that is, it is like pretty routinely frustrating that it's like
just a circle jerk, you know? Like, it's,
yeah. Why is it sometimes just like the status quo is okay, and other times it's not? And like, if you don't agree with the prevailing sentiment on this very specific thing, in this very specific place, then you're like out of the group. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you can feel at least disconnected from the fandom, I'll say. This is actually a perfect transition because. for the record, I loved episode 10.
It was great.
But this is a perfect transition because I asked you yesterday about Rings of Power. And I'm not throwing you under the bus, but I just haven't had the time. Yeah. But what I will say is, so we've been watching it and I've been for the most part enjoying it. That like it is absolutely not perfect.
Sure.
And absolutely have complaints. Like that's, you know, nobody lose it. But it's funny because if you look at least my algorithm, like this thing is an absolute bomb.
Yes. Yeah, same. Yeah.
And it's terrible. And like, who knows if they even make a third season? I don't actually know what, you know, what the numbers reflect and all that. I have a feeling it's probably doing okay. But I remember, I think I said it to you, like before when the embargo lifted, reviewers had viewed the entire season 2.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they're like more of the same, like pandering, wandering around, aimless bullshit. but that was one review, but it was critical, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
And then, you know, I looked around, they dropped the first 3 episodes and I was looking around on Reddit and people were like, I just can't believe they did this, you know? And, it's funny. I waited to read all the Reddit reviews until after I'd watched them and I watched them in a vacuum and I was for the most part happy.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, of course there are a couple things here that are a little weird. Right? Like, just the same as season 1.
Sure.
But it's moving faster. There's more development. There's more action. You know what I mean? Like, there's just more of everything. They're doing way less setup. They're just, like, picking up and running, which I appreciate. But, like, something dawned on me like that was, like, you know, I'm on the Lord of the Rings, like, subreddit, not on the House of Power subreddit. And, like, everybody who doesn't like this seems to have read the Silmarillion. Yes.
Silmarillion. Yeah.
And it, I think I don't want to oversimplify the internet's like qualms,
sure.
But I will say a major part of this is absolutely about the adaptation.
Really? Just people not. Oh, that's the thing too. Like, you know, like I'm not trying to like give like, you know, big guy or little guy Amazon like a hand here, but like. They have like a very specific little slice of the universe they're allowed to work with. Like, there's no way they're gonna like fucking adapt, you know, do a proper adaptation. Like, they have to do what they can, right? Like, I don't. It's, you know, it's only gonna go in so many directions. Like, they're kind of chained to the fence on this one, honestly. Like, you know, so like, I don't know. The way it comes out. I do want to check it out. Like, it's same thing. I've read the same, you know, this and that about it, but I don't know.
It's weird. Like, again, not perfect, but like to act as though, like, I don't like, you know, there are certain shows that are made at times when you're like, oh my God, this is like going to be a stain on the legacy of the art form. Like, I feel that way about of the art form of the franchise. Like, I probably feel that way about some of the Hobbit movies, sure. But I don't know if I've watched, I don't know if I watched this and I like, I, you know what I mean? And it ruins Lord of the Rings for me. It feels quite disconnected, but
no. Yeah.
But also parts of it are interesting. It's almost a little on the nose at times because they're directly lifting lines of dialogue from the movies that you know and love so well and placing like references of them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're a casual fan who doesn't have a fucking anime podcast and you like, you're going to be like, hey, they said the thing. I don't know. It's probably meant for a broader audience appeal. I don't know, man. I'm really curious.
I have this little thing called the father-in-law stress test.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked to Leanna's father quite quite regularly, quite often, and you know, he's always watching something, he's always checking. Like, I love just the voracious hunger that a father or father-in-law have when it comes to TV content. Like, it's unreal, dude.
They got a lot of time. They got the empty nest. They have a lot of time.
They're retired, you know. Yeah, like, yeah. Anyways, and you know, I'll ask him like, oh, what about this? What are you watching? Da da da. And like, you know, Rings of the Power, like, and Rings of Power, and what was it? Fucking like Jack Reacher, and like these shows that like kind of some kind of fall into like dadcore, and others sure. like, you know, bigger fandom stuff. But like, I can always tell by the tone of how he describes it, or like this and that. Like every now and then he'll stumble on like some quality programming, and you can see like just like his shock, and you'll see how he talks about it, like, oh, that's an 8 or a 9 out of 10, and then he'll talk about something else, like, oh, it's a 7, okay, I'll check it out, you know, like, so I kind of, that's, you know, I find, like, from what I hear from him, like, Rings of Power sitting in that, like, that 7 block, but, yeah, I don't know, it's funny, like, I do want to check it out, just, we've had so many shows on the go there, and Leanne and I are trying to get through this show called Sunny on Apple TV, has Rashida Jones in it. It's fucking weird, dude, we're only a couple episodes in, but, that's, once we're done that, I think we're gonna jump into Rings of Power.
It doesn't remind me of anything I can think of.
Sunny? No, it just came out. Like, I don't even know. I think I don't even think
the episodes are out yet.
Yeah, it's relatively new, a couple months, but it's all set in Japan. Like, nice. Like an expat's over there, marries a dude, works for a tech company. Wasn't, you know, he dies, and didn't really kind of explain what he did, and then like this robot shows up on her door, and like he built it, kind of thing. And it's a mystery. It's kind of a cool show. Very, very dry. Incredibly dry. And slow, but like Rashida Jones is just like such a unhappy, grumpy person. It's weird to see her play a role like that.
That is interesting.
And but it's good. Yeah.
Interesting. But, Sunny.
Yeah.
All right.
But Rings of Power, like I said, I am hoping next time we record, I'll have at least an episode or two under my belt.
Yeah, give it a little spin. It's I think what got us into it was just how fun, and I'm not gonna repeat this because I know we said this a lot, but how fun appointment viewing can be. Like the Hot D season 2
incredible.
Really, I think, reminded us of like, God, it's just so nice to have like a something waiting for you that you experience like live. And then, you know, our algorithms are so tuned to it. Like you watch it live and everything you see is then about the fallout of that episode. Mm. And again, like, so we were saying earlier that you're part of this gigantic community. In Hot D's case, it was a gigantic community that was singularly focused on hating the finale, yeah, but still.
Holy fuck, like, George really came out of the woodwork on that one. Did you see his more recent blog post?
I guess we haven't talked about it since then. So, Okay, wait, let's recap briefly. So, Hot D ended on a significant cliffhanger, which left large swaths of the fan base, you know, wanting more, but also irritated because they kind of did the same thing in season 1, and, you know, they're clear. Anyway, whatever. So some people were not stoked about that. The finale got a tough rating, and then George R. R. Martin comes out and he's got, you know, he kind of, I wouldn't say threw them under the bus. He just kind of said like, I gave my input. They made these decisions that I'm kind of against. I don't really like this part of the show. And then, he put the spoiler warning and I stopped reading, 'cause I think he talks about the outcome of certain characters.
I think I did read it.
Okay, real quick, just before the recap, or to end the recap. Then he took it down after it went viral, which is pointless. And HBO actually had to put out a statement. They put out a statement same day on a late.
We support our creators.
Just saying we support our creators. And you know, people that make adaptations often
creatives,
have to make...
Our creatives.
Yeah, often have to make tough decisions. And they have full confidence, blah, blah, blah. And George also said he's worried about some of the proposals being pitched for seasons 3 and 4. So he's clearly irritated. So has he put out a second one or what?
Yeah. So he took the blog post down, and then there was a semi ominous tweet by a close friend of his. I don't recall her name, but she's a fellow author, and she like openly like stipulates like right off the bat, like, George is like a really good friend. I think he's a really talented writer, but like, I am not a Game of Thrones fan, whether it's his books or the show.
That's funny.
And it was like alluded to, like, I had like a very lengthy conversation and like a couple other, you know, friends of ours with George, and I guess, you know, kind of alluded that like, not like, I don't think like the words like legal action, but he was like, this is a total, like, alluding to like what they have planned for 3 and 4 is like a total massacre of his story.
Oh, interesting.
And he's like very upset in the words of like he's looking into his options kind of thing.
Oh wow.
And again, but that was just like, you know, but that was making the rounds for a bit. But then so there was a second post that came out where he talks about, it starts off as like, yeah, like we're only gonna like talk about like one thing. And he was just like breaking down Blood and Cheese.
Yes, that I read.
And so there's this whole thing about, there's this whole thing in the spoiler. It's not that, like, I think you just alluded that, like, a character was not included in season 2 that 100% should have been.
Yep.
And now, because they haven't, like, what's the point of all these, like, conflicts to come where this character would have direct direct involvement in other characters' kind of stories and situations? So he's like what are they gonna do? Like, the impression is like they are completely like just doing their own thing, like they're not even remotely following like I guess the story guideline or not like he was set by him or whatever, but more along the lines of like it was there and like you're just not using it sort of thing. So but yeah, so I don't know, fucking wild.
Yeah. Yeah, man, but very, very weird. I'm curious to see like how all that shit goes. And it's interesting how active George has been as of late. Just in the news. You really gotta wonder if he's ever gonna put out this fucking book. Will you read it when he puts out Winds of Winter?
Yeah, I just finished Clash of Kings.
Clash of Kings. So where are you then?
Book 2.
Okay, so what's next? Is it Feast for Crows?
I believe so, yeah. I really liked. I liked the first book. Mm-hmm. I really liked Clash of Kings. It took me a while to get through. The first like couple chapters were, I think it starts out with like there's like a prologue kind of associated to Davos and Stannis, and then there's a Theon one. All the Theon chapters are really hard to get through, if I'm being honest, dude.
Yeah. Like, for me it was Cersei chapters were tough.
Oh, I don't think there wasn't too many Cersei chapters in this one.
She might be a later POV. Yeah.
I really liked... maybe not surprisingly, because I did like her in the show. I really liked Catelyn's chapters.
It's funny, because I remember reading it and being part of a subreddit reread.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, he's just bad at writing female characters, which is like a whole thing.
Yeah, yes and no.
But it's funny, though, because I always enjoyed the Catelyn chapters and the Arya ones.
I will say, so I read, there was one Catelyn chapter, there was one I was up way too late, and I was like, you know, the next day when I started reading again, I was like, I'm just going to go back like 2 chapters and just like start again, and one of them was a Catelyn one, and I did make the observation, I was like, Catelyn does have like a lot of chapters where she's just the like lightning rod to get other characters, like additional POVs out of them, kind of, or not quite POVs, but just get like other people's monologuing. Like, you know, there's like a scene like where she's kind of acting the go between Renly, a standoff between Renly and Stannis.
Oh, I remember that.
And I was like, oh, that's really weird. Like, this is her POV, and like we're watching these two like fucking, you know, like measure cocks like the whole chapter. And you know, there's like, you know, other stuff with you know, when she's at River Run with like her uncle and like a couple of the people, and it's like just, you know, like she had like a really strong character when she's like interrogating Jaime and all that. But I don't know, I did kind of find, like, on the reread, or that chapter reread, it's like, oh yeah, like, this is her chapter, but, like, you're not really getting much out of her. Like, yeah. Other people, like, the men are talking, which right. I thought was funny. Arya's were great, really liked Arya's chapters. Sansa's I did like, eventually, it kind of grew into that one a little bit. Who else? No Rob, like next to no Rob in this book. I thought that was crazy. I guess probably the next book makes more sense, but.
Well, I guess I shouldn't really spoil it, but yeah.
Well, I watched the show, dude. Like, I know the show.
Well, should I tell you then?
Yeah, it's okay. Just in case.
Because the spoiler is book related, not show.
Oh, okay.
Related. It's not really plot related, so. But, so yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fun, but it was a random tangent we went on. But no, Clash of Kings is good shit. I really liked it.
Yeah.
I've been very much, you know, because we're. You know, teaser, like, you and I are reading some manga right now.
Yeah.
Berserk. Yeah, I've been reading Berserk. I've been reading a ton of One Piece.
I downloaded the Shonen Jump app, yeah.
Yeah. Crin called me. She goes, hey, is there any way you can get that app on my phone there?
I'm like, what do you do? What do you do, Dad? What?
And I was like, yeah, all right. We'll get that on there for you. She's like, can I have your sign-in? She goes, it's only... It's only like free recent chapters on stuff. I want to read backlogs. I'm like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I bet so you I give her this
thing. Yeah, let me text you the password.
Like, that's hilarious.
But, yeah, it's funny. But yeah, a lot of reading. But dude, I guess a little tee up. I cannot wait to do our Berserk pod.
Yeah, I mean, neither.
I'm
man.
So excited.
I think it's funny. You know, this is working out because we had kind of told each other like, hey, if we're kind of on pace. Let's just see if we can line up our when we finish it, and then we'll decide what kind of pod we want to do for it. But I was like, I always know I'm enjoying something when my instinct is like, don't go too fast, try to enjoy it, right? Because I think when I fall in love with something, and it's funny, I feel that way about like good drinks, good food, just like slow down, try and savor this. And I had to keep stopping myself with Berserk, which is a good sign. And then I had all this travel crap, and in the meantime I think you've wrapped up, so now I can kind of blitz it a little bit, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It is curious. I'm wondering if, because like I know like the, you know, it's I almost just want a comparison based on like the paperback versions, because I wonder if by design in this deluxe edition they forego like chapters and stuff like that. Like there's next to no page numberings.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple here and there. You know, there's very little, like, you know, like, you know, like, this is, like, chapter this. So I'm almost wondering if that's how, like, the original source material was. They are just, like, very long one chapters, like, you know, versus, you know. Because, like, it says, like, volume one is three chapters, whereas, like, you know, most volumes of stuff is, like, 6 to 7.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if they just kind of, like, retooled and redesigned it.
Yeah, I remember that caused
this book,
but, me confusion. Early on, right? I was like, how does this work? Like, because the pacing is kind of weird, but we'll find out.
It's weird. It feels like I read a lot of manga, and they, you know, it's like other manga, but there's just something about, I don't know if it's this, I've never read a big deluxe version of anything.
No, me neither.
I'm almost, it almost feels like I'm watching anime as I'm reading it. Like even like I know it's manga and all that, just the size of it and the way it kind of, like there's just so much give to like really see like a full spread, like a 2-page spread.
I agree. It's very immersive.
It's very cool, dude. It's just making me think of like, ooh, I wonder what other notable series have like a deluxe version like this.
I know Attack on Titan does.
They have the problem is like I'm not a fan of like a paperback omnibus because it's too much weight at that size. It's hard to like kind of, you know.
Oh, you want the thick, like the big hardcover, like the ones the Berserk has.
Not even necessarily hardcover, but I think the sizing works better to his advantage of like, you know, kind of blowing up some of the images and like, the, you know, kind of getting, you know, a little less with more kind of thing. But,
sure.
I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. Anyways, I don't want to get too much into it because I really, really want to do the pod on it. But
yeah, for sure.
God, it's so good.
Did you catch the Emmys at all?
I saw some highlights. I saw The Bear is the funniest comedy on the planet, but...
Yeah, let's see. Or no, they lost.
No, all the actors. I know, like what's his name there got it?
Yeah, Jeremy Allen White, right?
Yeah.
And then his cousin got it, too.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. Like, the cast fucking won big time. Hey, have you seen Hacks?
I have not. I've heard a lot about it, though.
But it won Outstanding Comedy. It beat The Bear.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. That's the one with Gene Smart, eh? It's about a stand-up comedian.
Dude, I have no idea. Like, that's why I'm asking you. Like, I was asking
I'm almost Sam. Certain it's a stand-up comedy show. Or about a stand-up comic.
Oh, well, that's... I mean, Hacks kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Shogun.
Oh!
Makes history. You called it. You called it months and months in advance. Like I don't know if you said it will break the record, but you did say this show is gonna sweep some Emmys.
Yeah, 100%.
And it absolutely did. It won 18 Emmys, including
so incredibly deserved.
Outstanding drama series, lead actor and lead actress for Hiroyuki Sanada, first Emmy nom in his whole career and win.
Wow.
And Anna Sawai. The other lead.
The two of them were like. But like they were like the biggest standouts of that show. They were incredible.
Limited anthology series is Baby Reindeer. I know that was a really big one.
Which was Baby Reindeer? Is that the stalker show?
It's a stalker show. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like of two minds here. I'm glad True Detective Night Country didn't win for limited series, but I am like pissed that Jodie Foster won for lead actress because I don't know if there was much good about that show. I was legit mad about it, but whatever.
I know my boy Will Smith won for writing for Slow Horses. Not that Will Smith. But
yeah.
I love that show, dude. It's so
fucking I haven't seen it. Any of it. It's Gary Oldman, right?
It's so good, dude. Yeah, that, you know, we were talking about earlier about Appointment TV. Slow Horses every Wednesday is like, I'm foaming at the mouth every week for that.
Is that Apple TV?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, 6-episode seasons.
Oh, that's nice. 1 hour each or what?
45 to an hour. They shoot 2 seasons back to back.
Oh, that's nice.
They, like, you get one every year. Oh, dude, it's a treat. Ever since it came out, it has been a treat. I've read the first book now. Just great, great British spycraft type show. It's very good. Gary Oldman is, like, the ultimate, like, smart man on TV. Like,
you know, he was in the news today. You know what he... Okay, so, wait. I want to preface this, because it's 2024, and this is how news works. I saw it in a picture on Instagram that circulates news, okay? So, fucking easy if I ended up being duped here. But you know what supposedly he said? Because...
The Harry Potter thing.
Yeah, God. No, okay.
I saw the interview. He did say that.
Oh, awesome. So, for one, HBO is doing the Harry Potter reboot as a series. They're actually doing open casting for the kids right now.
Yeah.
And Gary Oldman says, I'd love to come back, but as Dumbledore. And...
The question was posed to him.
Oh, okay.
If he was asked, would he ever return? And then he gave his answer of, like, you know, I'd love to, you know, he had the whole bit about Sirius and, like, yeah, he was there, he was gone. He was actually really funny.
Yeah.
He was like, I'd get to do anything. He's like, you know, I would have loved to do more.
One of the better castings, the casting in that fucking franchise was pretty ridiculous in general, but.
I can't think of a bad casting in those,
honestly. Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. The problem was the directing, but anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
I hate David Yates. I hate him almost as much as I hate The Rock. But no, it's funny. Gary Oldman would make a great Dumbledore, ironically.
Yeah. Especially in the interview. You take a look at him. He's got, like, you know,
he's getting older and he's getting, he'd be perfect.
I was listening to one of the Ringer pods. They're doing, like, a week to week thing on Slow Horses episodes.
Of course.
And I think he's like, I can't remember if they said he's 72 or 78 years old. Like,
no.
Just crushing.
I'm Googling it.
I'm pretty sure it was 78. Yeah, 72 or 70. That's the two numbers that are sticking in my head.
66. You're out of your mind.
66? Oh, yeah. Wow. Who the fuck am I thinking of?
But he's starting to look, he looks okay.
Yeah.
But he could definitely.
You watch Slow Horses, you wouldn't think that. He looks like he's. Like,
I've seen the posters. He looks older, right?
He looks gross. He's like a very gross human being. Yeah. Slimy. Like, doesn't show. Ooh. It's incredible. He's so good, dude. The shit that comes out of his mouth in that show would have you howling.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He's like the ultimate, like, so the whole conceit of the show is, like, the Slow Horses are, like, the bum group in MI5. That's where, like, they send the dummies and, like, the losers.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's, like, the head of the losers, but he's, like, a legit, like, he was, like, one of the, back in the Cold War, like, he was, like, their guy.
Huh.
And you don't really know why he's there, but, like, he alludes that he wants to be there. So he just has all these kind of, like, fuck-ups under his care kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, he hates them, openly talks down to them, but, like, he cares about them, would go to bat for them at all time. It's incredible. It's such a good show.
Well, geez. But, okay, I'm going to queue up trailers for Hacks and Slow Horses.
And you can't complain about 6-episode seasons. Like, you're in and you're out.
Six complete is nice. Stories. That's true. Yeah. Six is nice.
Yeah.
Apologies for the background noise. This is just going to be how it is. I was gonna say, fuck, I'm gonna say, oh, did you see any of the bits like Eugene and Dan Levy did? Because I don't know if they hosted or just presented a lot.
No, nope, I think they hosted. I did not see any clips.
I don't know. One of the clips that I saw that was quite funny was, of course, everyone's gonna wants to know, why is The Bear classified as a comedy? And they go, we're gonna take the high road on this, just like they do over at The Bear, and we're not gonna make any jokes.
Oh my God.
I was like, yo, get him, dude.
Wow.
It's pretty funny.
I can just picture that in a very dry Southern Ontario. Well.
Yeah. Love it.
Love it.
Okay, so it's funny. I had HBO and Harry Potter on my list. We talked Emmys and Shogun, killing it at the Emmys. Your boy Matt Reeves.
Yeah?
He's starting to let out little sneak peek details about the Batman 2.
Okay.
Nothing really confirmed, other than, like, yes, it's going to be more everything. You know,
I was going to say, yeah, you had sent me something about a trilogy.
And then he says, but yeah, we're doing three of these. He said, like, ideally, we'll do three, right? Okay. So, all right. But it sounds like he's in writing mode, and he's writing with the idea of a trilogy. Dude, I can't overstate enough how much I don't want them to do a Barry Keoghan Joker movie for two. Remember that deleted scene?
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
Fuck me, I hope they don't have to do anything other than Penguin that.
Penguin comes out tonight.
Was that today already?
It's either tonight or yeah tomorrow. Yeah, 17th. It'd be tonight. Yeah.
Got great reviews, didn't it?
I don't know, but Colin Farrell's been quite an unhappy camper.
Say that again.
Colin Farrell's been quite an unhappy camper.
Oh, but the makeup, right?
Well, I think just that, and then the like kind of the whole experience of like, not even just like putting it on. It's like acting in it.
Yeah.
And you know, like there's. I saw a clip of him, and, like, it didn't seem like ingest. He seemed, like, pretty, like, I'm fucking done. And I was like, okay.
That blows. Whatever
you do. You made your money. But, so it sounds like there will not be a follow-up season. Of this. Damn. Unless they back a truck up.
Or you know, it's one of those things, too. Like, you always find that stuff interesting, like, the costume on movies like this. Like, there's always a dramatic improvement from 1 to 2, and, you know, 2 to 3. So, like, I don't know, maybe they can sort out some of those issues. But I saw a clip of him talking about, oh, it's quite an operation to go to the bathroom. Like, I get it. Sounds like it's a pain in the ass, but I guess I'll probably watch, I don't know, the pilot of that.
Yeah.
At some point. Sure. They're not releasing it all at once, are they?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt
it. Did you ever watch Peacemaker?
Yeah. It was really good.
Because they're doing season 2 of that as well.
Mm-hmm. They got to get Superman at first.
Yeah, James Gunn first bomb, boldly predicted.
Right here.
In 2023, no less. I think there's still a chance it bombs, Grant.
I
actually think those chances that it bombs are growing. Just with how superhero movies are going right now.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's all I got. The only thing I have randomly here is Solo Leveling Season 2 is confirmed for January.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was
an Aniplex
event this weekend. Other than that, there's a couple of movie announcements, nothing crazy out of that, but I did have I had a bit of a crisis of faith the other evening. I was messaging you.
What was it?
I can't remember. It was about Cowboy Bebop.
How'd that go?
Oh, dude, this is probably like the most grand answer. I watched the first two episodes twice, both.
Yes.
One in sub.
That is sub. Yeah. Okay, keep going.
I will concede. I think the dub is quite good, but I couldn't. I was like, I'm going back to the sub.
Sure.
And I watched the first three episodes. Incredible. Like. I was a little inebriated on the couch there, and
it's a good show for it.
A little bit to the gills, and I was just sitting there, like sucked into the couch. I mean, like they don't fucking do it like this anymore. Like the '90s, man, and it's actually crazy, the detail and like in the opening episode alone, there's. You know, and at first, when I was watching the first episode, I was like, oh, like, you know, this is like a pilot. Like, maybe they kind of threw all the stops to draw people in or whatever. And then I'm like, no, it was different back then. Like, they just fucking did it good. And I was blown away, like, going from the first episode to the second episode. Like, it just looks good. It's very, like, there is some weirdly dated stuff with, there's, like, gate, like waypoint, or portals, I guess, or, like, speed, as they enter into like a planet's atmosphere or something, or like a hyper jump or something.
Oh yeah. I think that's like a hyper jump. You need like a port for it, which is kind of old school.
But like the CG in it is like very, very, very dated. Oh, like it definitely kind of takes you out. I was kind of shocked, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's like of that.
No, but it's not like, oh yeah, this show fucking sucks or whatever. But dude, I loved it. I really, really like it. Just, you know, like we always talk about like lived in worlds, and when they say they're going to Tijuana and like the two of them are just shitting on Tijuana, like, oh, like nothing, you know, no one goes there. And it's like, well, this guy's there. And they just do like the single shots of like streets in Tijuana and people like living their lives. And I was like, holy fuck, dude. Like can you imagine we got a show like this in 2024? Like, you know,
oh,
like,
no,
our pants would literally fly off us. Like it's, I don't know, man. It was awesome. It was very, very good.
As many people will know, like, it wasn't, like, it was a big deal back then, but, you know, the internet wasn't really, like, as big as it is if it was around at all, and people found this in the West on Adult Swim. Very random. And I don't know. I think it was recommended to me by someone we went to high school with, ironically. After I watched my first anime, which was Death Note, they were like, oh, you should check out Cowboy Bebop.
Sure.
And you can imagine, like, one really lends itself to the other. But, yeah, it's a really fun one, man. So you think you'll keep up with it?
100%. That's what I'm doing after this.
Let's go.
Yeah. Right, no, actually, man. I'm going to watch an episode of Hijack, and then I'm going to watch...
What's Hijack?
That Idris Elba show on Apple he did. But
bro, you're throwing so much at me right now.
Dude, I'm not going to get it. I've only watched one episode, but actually, I will say this quickly.
Yeah.
And then we'll shut it down for the night, because we're both a couple tired boys. But
no, it's all good.
Last evening into the wee hours of the night, watched all of Presumed Innocent.
Oh, fuck.
Dude, I couldn't stop watching. I literally went to bed at like 3:30. Yeah, dude, I had to finish the last episode this morning. I had to finish the last 45 minutes this morning when I woke up.
Is that good?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it is.
Damn it. Gyllenhaal, huh?
And you know what? Like, I'm not saying I've been out on Gyllenhaal lately, but he's just made some very, very strange choices. Like,
yeah,
I like when he does this kind of stuff. And I'm not trying to bait you here, dude. I'm really not. But, like, there's just a couple times where he makes a look and I'm like, oh, you did that in Nightcrawler. I've seen that face before. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of tapping into that realm. Like, it's, you know, because the whole thing, like, you know, it's like, you know, is he innocent or is he not? You know,
right.
Like, it's the whole, you know, the supporting,
conundrum.
Phenomenal supporting cast. The general antagonist is Peter Sarsgaard.
Oh.
He's like one of my, like, I see him and I'm like, this is going to be good. Like, he picks good shit. And just the combative energy between the two of them is incredible. It's really good. It's highly recommend. Perfect you and Sam show, I think.
That's how many episodes? Good.
8.
About an hour?
Apple
TV, right?
Apple TV, I don't think in a single episode went over 55 minutes.
Okay. This might be a good one, dude.
But
you're not the first person to recommend this. And I love me some Gyllenhaal.
It was on a whim because, like, I'm having a hard time finishing Ripley.
And
it just so, like, I do really like it and aesthetically and this and that, but it is, and you know me, I love a slow burn, but like that is like the fire's not even started in some episodes.
Yeah. How far are you?
6. So I think I have like 3 or 4 left.
I completely finished it. I forgot to give you a review, but I'll do it next episode.
Sounds
actually
good.
Maybe I'll throw a little, I think I filmed a little reel on it for Instagram at Part-Time Otaku Podcast and on TikTok. So maybe I'll throw my thoughts out there as well.
Sweet.
Every now and then I had this thought, dude, the other day. We mention shit on the show all the time. Maybe we'll use our Instagram highlights for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're like, oh, yo, I saw this sick YouTube video about whatever. If it's podcast related, we should throw them in like a place people can find them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think shared something to me recently and I was like, oh, I should share this. But then the stories only last like a day.
Oh, true.
You know? So it's like if someone's listening to this like 2 days after it comes out, which many of them do, they won't be there. Anyway, some inside baseball for y'all. Look at the story highlights on Instagram. Okay, Presumed Innocent. That might jump to the top of the list.
It's so good, dude.
Would you put it above Slow Horses?
No, because I... No, genuinely no. I think Slow Horses... Okay, Presumed Innocent is like a finite one-season story. This is not like...
Oh, right.
I did see something. There's a chance they might be doing a second season, separate story, like an anthology kind of thing. Which, whatever. Like, if they do that, that's fine. But I think this is like a perfect, like a one-off capsule. So this would be maybe a good one to get out of the way first. Or not get out of the way, you know what I mean. But Slow Horses, like, right now, the fourth season is airing... you know, we're 2 episodes in, so like, you know, by the time you watch that in, you know, a couple weeks, if you ever decide to check out Slow Horses, you'll have all 4 ready to go. I cannot speak more highly of Slow Horses, but Presumed Innocent, like I said, dude, I was glued to the fucking TV. I started at 7, like I said, I went to bed at like, you know, like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, you're mine.
Yeah, dude, I couldn't pull myself away.
No, but I love that. I love when a story grabs you like that.
I love me some slightly gringy, sloppy murder mystery, you know. It's just
I'm interested now.
Yeah.
I haven't watched a good true crime like that in a while. I mean, not true crime. A good show like that in a while, but that's not true. I just finished Ripley.
It reminded me of The Staircase quite a bit, obviously, which was like a reenactment adaptation of like the documentary. Yeah, yeah. Whereas this is like a remake of a movie.
Sure.
You know, in a book. So it's a little different, a little more dramatized and less real events. You can kind of stretch it this here or there. But I love... I can't remember the last time I had a good like courtroom drama.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
So. Hey, you know, we should I'll tee this up. You know, we should briefly go over next pod.
What?
Shane Gillis, because we'll have seen him.
Yeah.
We're seeing this weekend. Shane Gillis there in a week or so this weekend in an undisclosed location. But maybe we should briefly talk about what he's like live. Yeah. We talk comedy at the top of this show. Why not?
Do it again.
All right, dog. I'm glad we're here. I'm glad we did this, Grant.
Glad to be back.
I'm glad to be back. We'll be back. No more breaks, okay? Probably bi-weekly still, but, you know, we won't miss another one until we do again, and then we'll apologize. Thank you for listening. I have plugged the Instagram enough. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Music. Also goes to YouTube. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Grant, go ahead, say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.